Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour podcast. Three women, one podcast, and a whole load of badass. I'm Harriet Minter, and I'm here with Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. And this week, we went to see Magic Mike live. Here are our thoughts on the show and what it means for feminism with Samantha Baines. Plus, we talked to Anna Cribb about why she was filmed having a smear test.
Underwear, armpit hair, many imitators, but no one compares.
Badass Women's Hour XL with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio.
One, two, three, four!
Now, if you've been listening to the show, you know that the Badass Women's Hour crew, we had our Christmas outing this week. We went to see Magic Mike Live, which is currently playing at the Hippodrome Theatre in Leicester Square. Ladies, give me your hot takes on it. What did you think, Emma Sexton?
It was basically a man utopia, and I really liked it, and I want to go back.
Did you think you were going to enjoy it?
No, because when I arrive, I don't want to give too much away from the show, but when you arrive, there's something that's, it's a much more like a traditional strip show, yeah. Right? And then everything just changes. And I just arrived and there were just, all the women just seemed to be really feral. And there was a guy on stage in like a fireman's outfit and I was like, I'm not going to enjoy this at all. And then it all changes and I'm like, I'm going to enjoy this.
Now, what was your view?
Yeah, I enjoyed it for sheer entertainment. It was a fun, it's a fun night out. I had had a busy day and I was smiling from ear to ear for the whole thing. I was surprised. I heard some of my favourite songs. There was a sing-along. The camaraderie amongst the women as well. There were women on both sides and you just start talking to women and they were taking photos. It was like, oh my God, look what's on the phone. Or if a guy walked past. So you can go with a friendship group, you can go alone and you'll meet lots of other women there, yeah. And you're all friends for that night. And that is beautiful because you don't often have that when you go to the theatre. The bit that I don't know if I can enjoy that sort of thing in the same way, because in the back of my mind for the whole thing, I was like, am I objectifying men? Am I objectifying men? Yeah. Is this wrong? Is
Whereas
this wrong?
Whereas I was like, yes, I am, and that's fine. I thought, I definitely went with a lot of trepidation because it involves sort of three of my least favourite things, that being audience participation, which I just hate. It's like throwback to being five at Panto and forced up on stage. Man spreading. There's a lot of man spreading in the show and Lynx deodorant. So I don't know how I'm going to feel about it. It is an excellent show. We are going to talk a little bit more about the whole show and our feelings about it and how much we enjoyed it. But we are also lucky enough because the whole show is emceed by one very powerful woman. And yes. We have one of those very powerful women, Samantha Baines, in the studio with us right now. Hello, welcome.
Hi. Hello. When you played Pony, I was like, oh my God, I'm back at work. I listen to that twice a night now.
Hang on, you can't get the Sunday night feel like everyone else gets, Samantha. Yeah,
exactly. Has it just ruined Channing Tatum for you for life?
No, because he directs the show, so I've got to work with him loads, and actually he's a really lovely guy, yeah. So it's kind
I'm
of made
so
him
happy.
Better for me.
That makes me so happy. So Samantha, for... So I walked into the show thinking that it was the musical version of the film. Mm-hmm. That's not what it is it?
No.
Tell us what it is.
There's no, I don't do any sing. Well, I do a tiny bit of singing, but it's not related. It is What is it? It's kind of, it's difficult to summarise, which I think is why everyone is so interested in it and wants to debate about it and is a bit scared before you go, because it's kind of a dance show and a comedy show, and there's musicians and aerialist work, and it's kind of, I see it as like a safe space for women to be a bit sexual in a respectful way and have a night out where we can just have fun and enjoy ourselves, and hopefully we're creating a lovely space where women feel comfortable. And what I love about the show is that it's one of the only shows that I've heard of that is created in the female gaze.
So
Channing is at the head of a brilliant team of very strong women who've been involved in creating this show, and it is a show for women. Everyone's welcome, but it is a show for women.
Yeah.
So the one thing you haven't mentioned in all of that is that it's also a show that contains seven or eight hot men who spend a lot of their time with their bodies out. And I actually thought it was an interesting positioning. The posters for Magic Mike are a man in a suit dancing like contemporary style.
Mm-hmm.
And so the messaging for it is actually quite in. Well, there's a couple of posters, but so not the black and gold one. There's a sort of a white version with a man in a suit. How does the interplay of the men and the dancing and the nakedness come into everything that you've described there?
So I think lots of people want to call it a strip show, and in the show we don't call it a strip show. Mm-hmm. And actually we've worked out that the guys have their clothes on for longer than they have their clothes off.
Mm-hmm.
And also you don't see any full frontal nether region. There's none of that, like in a traditional strip show with fluffers and all those sorts of things. There's none of that. It is professional dancers taking their tops off, sometimes taking their trousers off. And actually, I think, but it's more for us, it's more a show about the women in the audience than it is about the men on stage. And obviously the guys are all very beautiful and also, I must say, lovely human beings and really talented dancers. You know, they've all trained for years and years to do what they do. And as I said, they do aerial work as well, and they're musicians. So I think if anyone came with the idea that they were going to objectify men, like they were just going to look at a body and like it, I think it's quite hard in the show to just do that, because actually the show is all about watching their talent.
Unless you've had six Proseccos, at which point it's very easy to
you
mean,
just blur it.
Yeah, I say that, but if we just flip it, because this is where I sort of was in it, where I really, so I can't say that I didn't enjoy the show. I did really enjoy it, and I think it is an excellent show, and full credit to the boys. They are brilliant dance boys. God, full credit to the men. You see, so this is where I have a problem, because I've instantly diminished them. They're men dancing. I've gone, full credit to the boys, well done, pat on the head. And I think that's what happens so often with women in that situation. And the whole way through I was thinking, how would I feel if this was reversed, if this was women? Because there's a bit right at the beginning where we summon the mic of Magic Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to give too much away again, but he is Italian. So they've summoned him and he appears as if by magic, and he doesn't know where he is and he's in a foreign country. And the MC says, do you want to stay? And he sort of says, oh, no, I want to go home. And she's like, no, you definitely want to stay. And I was like, whoa, hang on, we're human trafficking here.
Well, just in defense of the show, the line, you definitely want to stay, is not in the show. We give him two options in the show. So he says, no, I want to go home. And we say, hang on, let me give you two options. Here's one option, you can go away. And here's another option, you can stay. And he says he wants to stay. So we've been really careful in the show. I know what you mean. And it's so interesting that so many people are like, it's a double standard. What if it was women up there? But what I say to that is, if you watch a show like Strictly Come Dancing, which I love, the female dancers in that show will have more flesh on show than the boys in our show for the majority of the time. The boys in our show wear suits. They come on stage originally in full clothes. Yes, they do take their clothes off, but the female dancers in Strictly Come Dancing quite often are in like swimming costume bikinis. I love it. Great. They're celebrating their bodies. But we watch that so regularly on TV. And we
but
see it in music videos. We're used to nudity.
Doesn't that then come down to the point about gaze, right? So when we're talking about male gaze, what we're generally saying is we're looking at women from a sexualized point of view. And if we're then taking this and saying, actually, we've created a show which is female gaze, but it's just women looking at men from a sexualized point of view, it's the same thing.
Yeah, but
right?
what's wrong with looking at another human being in a sexual way when we are, most of us, attracted to human beings?
And the points at which there was nudity were the points at which I enjoyed. And I must say, the points where it was quiet was when there was dancing and they were fully clothed. And because I think everyone was a bit like, I'm not sure what this is right now. Is it a dance show where there is obviously brilliant dance and this is a great song? And then as soon as like a t-shirt got, you know, started to rise, then everyone's like, woo! So I think women are still in a place where they're confused about what that sort of performance is.
And also I think it's so interesting because obviously our show isn't a strip show, but if you're talking about strip shows, and obviously people who work in those shows is their prerogative, like that I'm not damning them in any way, it's completely up to them. But we've had strip bars, you know, throughout the UK for years and years and years, so there is place for majority straight men to go and enjoy themselves in a sexualized way. There is, I have found as a woman, never a place for me to go and enjoy myself in a sexualized way. And I would say that this show is kind of that place, but we're doing it respectfully. Like, you don't grope the guys. If you grope the guys, you'll be warned and then you'll be removed from the show. Mm-hmm. Like, we talk about permission in the show, we talk about consent, but you can still enjoy yourself and feel powerful and feel sexual. And as a woman, I know I've never had that experience. When I went to see the show in Vegas, because it's already a successful show in Vegas, we've Londoned and UK'd it up over here. But when I went to see the show in Vegas, I felt out of control because I was like, I've never been given permission to be like, I feel sexy and I feel in a sexy environment. And I feel powerful and like I can say, yes, that's what I want. And I can try and experience it and get it, but in a respectful way.
Because that's the bit about the show that I loved. There's one part of the show where the guy pretty much, you know, you could, you know, most of his clothes come off. And actually, I didn't even want to see that because all the sexiness was the clothes on, the music track, the soundtracks were just amazing. And what I realized is when I entered and it starts with this very traditional strip show, I was like, oh my goodness, I remember those days. I remember the hen nights that we went on with those kind of male strippers. And that's such a male construct of assuming that that's what women liked. And I looked at that and I was like, oh my goodness, I partook in some of that stuff for hen nights or whatever and thought it was fun, but it never made me feel as sexy as the Magic Mike show because that was just so tuned into to women. But equally, it felt equal. I didn't feel like I was demoralizing those guys. I didn't feel like we all had the control and they had no control. It just felt like a really amazing space.
So that's really interesting because I always make a joke that whenever one of my female friends has a hen do and somebody hires a butler in the buff, that I am the woman in the kitchen making polite conversation with the butler in the buff about where he's going to university and is he going to get home safely and does he need, you know, nappy cream for the acne on his ass or whatever. And I feel like I have to kind of look after them and I definitely had a bit of that feeling at Magic Mike where we were saying, you know, bonding with the women next to you. The women sat next to me as they were going around. They're like, come and give her a lap dance. Come and give her a lap. I was like, no, really, I'm totally fine. You go over there. I don't want you to feel you have to. You're totally. And I felt responsible for them.
Well, they're grown human beings. So they can make their own decisions. And we do, you know, we do look after them. But also there's a safe word in the show. Mm-hmm. And guys will approach you because I know lots of people have been saying, oh, I don't want to be dragged up on stage. You will not be dragged up on stage in Magic Mike. They will ask you if you would like to come on stage. And I bring women up on stage at one point during the show and I always ask and people say no. And I say, that's absolutely fine. Are you sure? They say yes. And then I move on and I ask someone else. So apart from that beginning bit where we kind of hark back to the olden days, and someone is dragged up on stage, but not a member of the audience, maybe, let's say. No one is ever dragged up on stage. People are always asked for permission. When the guys come over to you for a lap dance, they make eye contact with you. And, you know, they know that if you look like you don't want it or you say no, they will normally just kiss your hand or like just say, OK, thank you and move away. Because, you know, what's so nice about this production, because before I was involved in it, I was like, what is this going to be? And I call myself a feminist, and I am a feminist, and I wanted to be involved in something where women felt powerful and didn't feel talked down to or patronized. And what I find so brilliant about the show is these female powerhouses. Alison Falk is co-directs with Channing, and she's the choreographer on the show. She worked on all the Magic Mike movies, and like the set design is by Rachel. Like there's just these amazing women who've said, no, we don't want those things that we've been told that we want before. I think that this is what I would like, so I'm going to create a space that I would like to be in. And what's so great, as you said, is the female like solidarity just in the room.
Yeah.
Like I've never chatted to strangers in London
as much as when I'm
in this show.
Yeah.
Like we just all chat and afterwards, like women come up to me and we have the most amazing conversations, and I feel like I'm making friends every night doing the show, which for me as a performer is like a dream come true. But like, it's what I love about it is that I hope, and people have told me, that it feels safe and nice, and that you're in control, and that you know, when they auditioned the guys, they not only auditioned them as dancers, they interviewed them and they asked them questions, you know, about women and how they interact with women. So all of those fellas are lovely human beings and know that a woman saying no, I don't want to lap dance isn't anything to do with them. You know, you don't know what's going on in that person's life, and it's completely their prerogative to say no, thank you. As long as they do it in a respectful way, like.
So can I ask you though, as a feminist, how do you feel about traditional strip clubs, where it's generally women and men?
So, I think it's a difficult issue. I think no one should ever feel like they're forced into stripping, obviously, mm-hmm. and that they don't have enough money or whatever it is, and that's all that they can do. I think that's when I have a problem with it. If someone, you know, like, you know, sex workers and people in the stripping industry, if that's what they want to do and that's what makes them feel powerful and they love, then, you know, there is a space for them to do that. But I do think it's so important, this kind of permission and respect thing, and that obviously there should be a safe environment for male or female strippers if that's what they decide to do, and that they shouldn't feel like they're unsafe at work and they should be groped and things like that.
Do you think, though, that if there was a show, like Magic Miranda,
yes,
and it was, you know, exactly the same thing, so let's just say it's burlesque cabaret, created by women on stage, a similar dynamic, we would be as supportive? Because I do think, I don't necessarily know if we would be, because we would always see it as women being objectified. And this is the issue that I had when I was watching it. I really enjoyed it. But I was thinking, if it was the other way round, even if the women were empowered, and I would feel that sense of objectification, even if the power parity was exactly the same, I would still see it as...
But would you? Or is that your connotation linked with the sex and the strip industry of the past? Because if you think about like a going to see a burlesque show with female performers, like I've never thought they're being objectified.
But I think
in a
burlesque is made
show.
For women.
Yeah,
burlesque is made for men.
Burlesque is made for women. And I think actually if you go to most classic strip clubs, it's not made for women. It is made for men. Even the ones where, you know, and I have nothing against a woman who decides she wants to do that for a living. I have nothing against a man who actually decides he wants to go and watch it. Fair enough. But they are made for men. And I guess what you're trying to do is Magic Mike is make something for women, but we are still in a world where most stuff is made for men.
Yeah, but that's why I think that Magic Mike is so popular, yeah. because we've not
space.
Had
yeah.
this
yeah.
before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're like, oh my
but
goodness,
it's...
quick, get a ticket.
But it was hard to not have this conversation in
yeah,
my
no,
head.
Totally.
And that's the thing that upset me. I couldn't just indulge. And I feel bad for even saying the word indulge. I couldn't just indulge because I had all of these other thoughts in my head.
Well, interestingly, I mean, I think Chan has said this in an interview. They have thought about doing the female version or maybe even a mixed version.
Yeah.
So there is. I don't know whether that will ever happen,
I
but that has been considered.
The couple.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
The sexiest bit in it was the couple.
Yeah.
And so I would watch something that was two people.
I was thinking it definitely
I don't
want to
give away
show.
What happens, but...
Yeah, it's talking in mysterious riddles.
Yeah. But the other aspect for me that made me comfortable with the show was that there was a lot about... it was sensual sex. It was a different level of a sex rather than the sex that we're used to from porn, from stripping. Yeah, yeah. Like, there was a much more... I don't know what the word is really, but it was
thoughtful.
It was more thoughtful. I mean, there was a guy doing this sort of almost contemporary balletic dance, you know? So
it is. It's beautiful, and we would love to know what you think. So in order to know that, you need to go and see it. Magic Mike, it's on at the Hippodrome Theatre. Apparently it's booked up till June, but I'd see if you can get a return because it was a lot of fun. We had a lot
new
of fun.
New tickets are released every Monday for that week.
Oh, good knowledge. Samantha Baines, thank you so much for joining us.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Fempire Strikes Back. Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
We were just talking about sex toys, so the studio, quite frankly, looks... Well, I mean... Like we're all having a great time, to be honest.
It's like we're in for a great Christmas. That's what it looks like, Harry.
We're definitely in for a good Christmas. But we also want to talk about something equally important and doesn't get the same amount of airtime, I don't think, as the fun stuff. But it is important, particularly ladies and gentlemen. If you've got a lady in your life, you need to tell her to go and get this tested. It is smear tests and reports that after a kind of peak post-Jade Goody's death, where women did go and get tested, it's fallen off and we're not going again. To talk to us about this, we've got Anna Cribb in the studio. Hi, Anna.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, thank
swimming
you
through sex toys to get to the microphone.
So tell us why this is particularly important for you.
It's really, really close to my heart, actually. When I was younger, in my 20s, I went for a smear test and wandered along as you do for a routine smear test. And the doctor told me that the results came back abnormal cells. I obviously did what everybody does and panicked and thought about cancer. Luckily, because I'd gone early enough and got the test done, I was able to be treated. I went through laser treatment, cauterization on the abnormal cells, and I'm here today to talk about it. Finding out about the statistics is really, really horrifying. So I decided I need to do something about it.
But do you think we're getting the right information about smear tests? Because I find it quite confusing as to when we're supposed to go or not go. Mm-hmm. I think when you're younger, maybe is it once a year and then it moves once every 3 years. And so it's not like going to get your teeth, you know, your annual dental appointment or anything else. Yeah. So it's just not part of the normal set of tests that I would get done.
That's right. When you're 25 years or older, then you get the test every 3 years in the UK.
Is it three?
Okay. It's more than that in France and other countries. But it's every 3 years. The test is free. So there is no other reason not to attend your test. Other than that, it's a little bit embarrassing and a little bit uncomfortable. It was actually when I started YouTubing, set up my own YouTube channel with my best friend Katie Pullinger, and we were sponsored by Channel Mum, and they kept asking us to do things. And Kathy, the editor of Channel Mum, phoned me up one day and asked me whether I would consider doing a live cervical smear test. I nearly threw up into my mobile phone and said I was going to have to think about it, put the phone down, and spent the rest of the week talking to Katie about whether this was something I could cope with doing, that we could cope with doing, and started to talk to friends and family about it. And I think the big decision maker for me was talking to my mum, who originally said, Annie, this is not something that needs to be done. You can raise awareness so many other ways than doing this live on camera. And then a week later, she phoned me back and said, we're actually going to attend a very close friend's funeral in the south of France. And she was really upset when she told me that that friend had died of cervical cancer and actually knew there was a problem and hadn't gone for the test for the very simple reason that she felt awkward about it, that she felt embarrassed about it. And my mum said, you have to do this. If it encourages one woman to go for the test that she feels uncomfortable with, then it is worth doing. If you can save one life, then go and do it.
But also, it's not an awful test. Yeah. Like, I know a lot of women who are scared of going for a smear test. Mm. And I am fortunate enough that I've never had any challenges about going. I feel like it should be video to just show how kind of very basic it is. Yes, yeah. It's a part of your body that, you know, we want to keep private and you don't want to be getting out for people, but ultimately the procedure is pretty small. It's uncomfortable. Yeah. It's not painful.
And I think it's because I knew that myself, that I decided I could cope with going to do it. And I can talk my way through anything. So I thought I could describe exactly how the test felt, which is exactly what I did. So we went live and I couldn't have been shaking more than I was. I mean, how on earth the gynecologist even found his way in between my legs because they were shaking so much. But actually, I was able to describe exactly how it felt. And after we'd gone live, Katie and I waited for the backlash and we waited for people telling me I had done it for any other reason other than the reason I did do it, to raise awareness. And actually, it was phenomenal. The emails and the contact through social media, women who had never been for a smear test, women who went for the smear test because they'd watched the live and were encouraged to do it, and abnormal cells were found. And yes, it has saved lives. So
we've discussed this on the show before, not for a while actually, but I think the thing about smear tests that puts people off is A, the results, and B, scared of sort of the unknown unknowns, but also the environment just isn't particularly welcoming. The actual test itself is absolutely fine. I mean, if you've ever had sex before, or you've put in a tampon, for me anyway, you put in a tampon, then, you know, you're used to things being in that area. It's relatively quick, but it's usually cold. And, it's not, it's a bit like going in to get an injection in your arm. There's nothing about the whole situation that puts you at ease. Yeah. And so I think more needs to be done to just make it a more relaxing experience. But the actual procedure, I think we need to, which is what you do in the video, we need to demystify, because it's not a terrible procedure by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, the statistics are incredible. 75% of cervical cancer could be prevented by women attending tests. It's as simple as that. Finding the abnormal cells early on means we can treat it, and it's simple treatment at early on stages, you know, and leaving it too late is fatal. So there's only 1 in 4 women attending tests, and since 2009, when Jade Goody died from cervical cancer, which did raise awareness and there was a big surge in women going to their tests, the numbers are dropping off again.
But that's because I think women don't know when they're supposed to go back, and so you go and then you get an all clear, and then if you move and you don't necessarily re-register at a doctor surgery, you don't get a letter saying it's time. And 3 years, can you remember what you were doing 3 years ago?
My doctors have been on my case. I've got a smear test on Wednesday, and my doctors have been on my case for the past 2 months for me to book an appointment.
But that, how long have you lived where you are?
Well, that's true, 10 years.
Yeah. And so same doctor, surgery, same house. If you're young in London and you've moved and lived at different addresses and you haven't necessarily registered as a doctor surgery, then how do you get found? And at what, you know, is there a central system that's tracking the last time that you had a smear test?
But there is also an element of personal responsibility. So there's an element of saying, actually, you know, whenever I've registered at a doctor surgery, they've always asked me, when was your last smear test? And I've never known the answer. Mm. So I've always been like, was it? Because I went through a period where I had to have them every 6 months. And so I never know, was it 6 months ago? Was it 3 years ago? I don't know. But they always ask me. And when I say, I don't know, they always say, well, best to come in for one anyway. And so there's something about actually that I think we can all do, which is about taking kind of proactive responsibility for our health. If you are not registered with a doctor's surgery, we are lucky enough to live in a country where you can have a GP for free. Go register.
Yeah.
Go say to them, I don't know the last time I had a smear test. Can I book him for one? Because mostly they will say yes. The thing that I think is mooring is that we're not testing young enough. So we only test from 25. And actually, I had my abnormal cells come back report when I was, I think, 22, 23, and I didn't got that because I'd gone in for something else. And they said, while you're here, you should. One of my best friends had her abnormal cells at 18, 19. She was Irish, they test earlier. So there's something about actually thinking, this is not something that just kicks in after 25. It does happen to young women too. And we need to be more aware of that.
But I definitely think it's about being aware of your body as well. And make that phone call to the doctors. That's what they're there for. And what an incredible NHS system we have in this country. You can make a phone call and you can say, this is not feeling right. Or, you know, this is something that I want. They will check your records and they will book you in. And, you know, yes, there is a certain amount of responsibility for yourself and your body. And, you know, especially if you're a parent, you owe this to your kids as well. And since having kids, you know, I personally feel like keeping on top of these things is really, really important for their sake, so that they've got mummy around as long as they possibly can have. And do it for them, if not for yourself.
Yeah. And are you doing any more on the smear test campaign? Have you got anything more that we should be looking for?
The video is still up on YouTube over on Channel Mum, and I've just done a chat on our YouTube channel, Hey Mummy, as well this week. So it's there. So if you are somebody who is listening to this and perhaps thinks that you haven't been for your smear test, then watch the video. I put myself through it to help people, not for any other reason. And I would love you to watch it and realise that this is a test that does not hurt and could save your life. So please, please, please book yourself in, phone your doctors and see if you've run over your 3 year limit to go and have your test, because it really could save your life. And the video might just help you to do that. So
Anna Cribb, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us about it. Go get a smear test.
Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
She'll get you talking.
We're talking advent calendars. Annabelle, tell us what's in the advent calendar particularly that we're talking about today.
So in my hands right now, I hold the Love Honey sex toy advent calendar, which has, for every festive day, a little bedroom treat, shall we say. So the idea is it works in the exact same way as a normal advent calendar, only instead of chocolate, you get something that you can use by yourself or with your partner. It really is all about imagination with this calendar.
I don't want to say let's open it up, but
Oh, pick a number.
Well, what's on the 8th. Should we do today?
Okay, if I can find it. I've never been good at this.
So this is my thing with advent calendars, not just running in order.
There's been a big thing about advent calendars this year, haven't
there? Oh, it's a big one.
I probably should have unpackaged
it's
these before we started.
Is it inflatable? No, it's
this is a little feather tickler. And you just trace it along your skin or your partner's skin, and the idea is that this encourages blood flow to the surface of the skin and makes you more responsive to touch, so you're more sensitive, so it can increase pleasure in the bedroom. And it's nice and pretty as well, and it does
on your shower. That's what I was thinking. I was like, a mega duster right there.
And why, so I'm obviously, this all sounds great, I'm not sure 24 days, it feels like quite a lot of effort. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, you can open them in any order you like. You don't have to open one every day. And some of them are nice and playful like this, and others, like the main product in there, is quite luxurious, quite expensive. So I think people that are really into sex toys would love this. And those that are looking to get into this, it's a great kind of smorgasbord of things to try. There's nothing particularly scary or particularly kinky or particularly 50 Shades of Grey-ish. So it's not very scary. It's really just a bit of fun. And a lot of people buy them as gifts.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. If I knew that one of my girlfriends had, you know, been moaning all year that she wanted to spice up things in the bedroom, or that she was generally just quite horny a lot of the time, this is the sort of fun gift that I would buy for her. And I'm looking, it's a bit large though. It's not the sort of thing you can just carry home from the shops in a bag.
Fortunately, Love Honey do discreet delivery. Jeez. So you don't have to.
How much does it cost?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
I think it's £150 and you get £250 worth of toys in here.
It is a big box, listeners. It's a very big box and it looks
as the,
yeah, heavy.
As the actress
than my
Bishop.
Wine advent calendar.
Gareth, would you buy this for your other half?
Yeah, I think it's nice. It's about twice the size of a Monopoly board. It's quite hard to carry abroad. My girlfriend's in San Francisco, but you know what? I don't mind those kind of those things being X-rayed as I go through the.
What do you do if they stopped and unpacked your bag, Gareth?
I have carried all kinds of dildos and high heels and fun things through customs to take to my girlfriend because why not? I think immigration at the other end are like, well. Not coming
Good
here
man.
To cause some trouble.
Coming here for fun. For pleasure rather than business. That's the box they're taking on that one.
When you're arriving in places like Los Angeles and Vegas and places like that, maybe they expect it. I don't know.
I'll tell you what you do. You do have to be careful, though, with buying gifts for people because a couple of years ago, a friend of mine's other half bought her the Love Honey stocking. You get a Christmas stocking.
Okay.
But he didn't, unfortunately, know the Christmas stocking etiquette in her parents' house.
Oh, no.
And the Christmas stocking etiquette is that they all open them together over breakfast.
Oh, no.
It was embarrassing for all involved. So do check who's opening what when.
Just make sure you know the traditions in your in-laws' household.
Unless mum-in-law's saying, God, I've always wanted a dildo.
Annabelle, you bought us some other stuff. What other little goodies have you bought for us?
So I'm going to start off with a shameless plug because I actually have my own range of sex toys out. There's 8 items in the range and I bought you guys one thing each. So you can fight amongst yourselves. But the thing I'm particularly proud of is I designed some Kegel cherries. So they're pelvic floor toning balls and they're designed to look exactly like cherries. And the stalk is the retrieval cord and it's very cute. They come knotted and everything, but they're weighted. So if you've had a baby or just through age, your pelvic floor isn't quite what it once was, these will help you tighten it up and you'll get better bladder control. And lots of women report experiencing better orgasms as a result of this. So that's why.
Should we pass those over to you?
I don't have any problems with bladder control or orgasms, but thanks.
The other thing I bought is, so I am a certified couples counsellor and I spend the majority of my time trying to keep couples together.
Yeah.
And a lot of times a difference in kind of sex drive and the orgasm gap that we've been hearing a lot about plays such a big part. So I wanted to introduce a love ring into my collection so that we can close that gap because women typically take around 20 minutes to reach climax and men 7. So if you can stimulate your partner externally and internally at the same time, which you can with this ring, you kind of bring those levels to a more equal standing.
Gareth, do you want that one? We'll give that one to Gareth.
I'm not going to go into this.
You're going to regret this show, aren't you?
More men should be listening to this. All these kind of pelvic floor things. And it's very, very interesting. I've got to say that. It's really, really interesting. All men out there, calling all men, you need to listen to the Badass Women show.
It's serious insights.
It's like... Years ago, I mean, I'm in my 50s now, but years ago, obviously, the boys, we used to read Cosmopolitan stuff because we needed to know what the girls thought. So this is fascinating, and you should have a massive male audience. It should be as simple as that.
Well, they'll all be calling
in
a minute.
We've definitely got Gareth.
So be nice
Gareth.
To us. So be nice.
Oh, we are nice.
And finally, what's the final treat you got for Sanibel?
The final thing I bought, I did mull over whether I should bring these or not because anal play is not to everyone's taste, and I'm being very aware that it is pre-9 p.m.
So I thought you were going to say, I'm very aware it's Christmas, so something else might go.
We've all eaten a lot. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people expressing an interest in backdoor activity, we shall call it. So I thought I should cater to that market, because I was really surprised in the amount of people that asked questions about this department. So I designed a range of plugs that you don't wear vaginally. But on the base, I put this.
We're so going to Ofcom.
Which is a smoky crystal base.
Well, Harriet will have those.
I'll take those.
It's like bling for your booty.
That's exactly what my booty needs over Christmas. Annabelle, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us. Love Honey Advent Calendar is available now. If you haven't got one already and that's what you need, you go for it. 1, 2, 3, 4! This has been the Badass Women's Hour podcast with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. If you want to hear more from us, you can come follow us on social media at Badass Women's Hour, HR, or leave us a review and tell us how much you love us. We really need to feel the love. 5 stars should do it.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.